both of my sermons this morning are going to talk to each other, and so I really hope that it will be beneficial for you guys, because it's extremely beneficial for me. One of the brethren talked a little bit about pipe bursting and stuff like that, and Nick probably has already kind of alluded to this from our perspective, but about 2 weeks ago, I fell into that category, and luckily, thank goodness, I was home and working from home, because I caught it in about 20, 25 minutes as I saw my ceiling, my basement ceiling kind of come crashing down. And now all my flooring is tore up. Our home is just a disaster right now, but, you know, we're still managing. Partly because we understand that in order to be successful, we have to have proper, good stress management. And I think the Bible talks pretty clearly about stress management and how we all get stressed from time to time. That's what's great about a topic and a sermon. This is that because it's because all of us have faced stress in one way, shape, or another. And maybe some of us right now are feeling stress. And if you have been in a water pipe breaking situation, you know what I'm talking about. You know, if you have young children, you know what stress is all about. For all of you that are stay-at-home moms, I tip my cap to you, because I've been the stay-at-home dad from time to time, and I have never been so encouraged and looked forward to my wife being home than the days where I've had to stay home with my children. And so for all you moms that do it full-time, I want to give you a giant hug, because I know exactly what kind of stress that you're going through on a day-to-day basis. And so from an introductory standpoint, I'm not going to take the time to read all through all of this stuff, but there was a scientific experiment done many years ago where they kind of built, the scientists built this big biosphere, right? This big kind of dome-shaped looking thing. And their overall goal for doing that is to test many environments in this sphere, right? They were going to test the extreme elements of weather. They're going to kind of create weather and test those elements within this biosphere. So they had the desert, they had rain, the forest, and even a mini ocean going and taking place throughout this biosphere. And so what this could do is duplicate any weather. I'm getting way ahead of myself here. I'm sorry. Let's go back. This is the joy of technology sometimes. So give me just a second. Well, let's just stop right there. My introductory continues on this is that this biosphere could duplicate any weather conditions except wind. And this seemed like a minor problem. The effects of the windless environment became apparent later on, though, and many of the trees that were taken in the sphere bent to the ground and they broke. Well, why is that? Wind seems such like an insignificant element of weather, right? Especially compared to rain and snow and ice and all that kind of stuff. Why would these trees eventually just kind of crumble and bend in half? And the reason behind that is because they didn't have the wind to build strength into their trunks, right? So when you see these trees going back and forth, kind of swaying back and forth, what that's doing is building a strength in their trunk, and that's what allows them to kind of be able to sustain for many, 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 many years. Which tree that you look at. And so I keep pressing the button, and I don't mean to do that. I apologize. Let me go back here. All right. Well, I went way ahead of myself. All right, there we go. There's the introduction. That's what I just got done talking about. And so what that wind does is cause stress, right? These trees are swaying back and forth, left and right, to and fro, causing that stress and causing that strength. And that's what happens to us. That's why we go through stress, right? It molds us. It builds us. It helps us to become who we are as God's children, even present day. Look at some of these top stresses that we see in the United States today. Job, money, health, or different relationships, poor health or poor nutrition and stuff like that. Media overload. I just did a sermon not too long ago on the dangers of social media with Christians. And I tell you guys, it's so sad when you see a family of five or six at a restaurant, look over at the table, and every single one of them are on an electronic. And I know I'm being hypocritical when I state that, because I know my kids from time to time will jump on theirs, especially if my wife and I want to have a civilized, peaceful conversation at dinner. But, you know, media overload, you know, we're so focused on having our noses and our faces in electronics. Sometimes it can be very detrimental to all of us. And so some U.S. stress statistics, 77% of people who regularly experience physical symptoms caused by stress, right? So you might have stress now, and all of a sudden that leads to health issues, that leads to physical issues. 73% of people are experiencing psychological issues. 33% of people state that they're living with extreme stress, right? That kind of stress that is just so overbearing, it seems like you're never going to be able to get rid of it. 48%, boy, this has happened to me, I can't tell you how many times. 48% of people report lying awake at night because they're stressed out. The amount of sleep that I've lost on stress and house situations currently and stuff like that, it's ridiculous, right? For whatever reason, it keeps us lying awake at night. Some more statistics on this. 48% of people who say stress has a negative impact on their personal and even professional life, right? There's not a lot of good that comes from stress, but definitely there can be some things. Stress also sometimes, 26% of the people stated that alienates them from being being with a friend or being with a family member. Unfortunately, stress can lead to depression and anxiety. And unfortunately, we see this happening so many times in today's society, especially around the holidays, where people just are so fed up living with this stress, so fed up with living with this depression, that they feel it's no longer worth living upon this walk of life. And then 30% of people who say they are always or often under stress at work. A lot of us have just stressful jobs, right? And so all these things can lead to very, very bad and very negative aspects in our lives. So people who cited physical symptoms because of stress, fatigue, headaches, upset stomachs, muscle tension, they feel dizzy and things of that nature, right? So stress in and of itself is not good for us in a lot of different areas and aspects, especially the stresses that we're all accustomed to and that we have today. However, at the end of the day, stress is not always terrible. We talked about the stress in the trees, right? They needed that stress in order to have strength and in order to build up that dynamic with their trunks of the trees, so that they can be able to sustain a majority of living here on this walk of life. So stress is not all bad. Difficult circumstances of life make us stronger, don't they? And as the stressful situations that we face build our strength. Are you who you are today because of the lack of stress in your life? Well, no, of course not. Because of those stressful situations, because of that heartache, or because of depression, because of that anxiety that you were faced with in life, it's molded you into being who you are today. And you're who you are today because you were able to overcome those obstacles in life. You were able to overcome those barriers in life. And there's a plethora of different things we could talk about, guys. The difficulties at work, or at school, especially our young kids today. I graduated high school in 2003, which seems like a lifetime ago for me. And our kids that are in school today, I feel so badly for. My mother is a middle school teacher, and middle school kids are not nice. Not nice kids whatsoever. So I sympathize definitely with our youth, especially our youth that are trying to be raised in Christian homes. The difficulties in our home, maybe we're having difficulties with our spouse, right? Maybe we just have that tension. Maybe we have that stress because we're not seeing things eye to eye. We're not getting along. We seem to argue over the most difficult and sometimes ridiculous arguments that we can ever think about. And then even the difficulties that are amongst our peers as well. But God allows us to weather these stressful times. Remember, He's told us, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm never going to put you through something that's going to absolutely break you in half, to paraphrase scriptures, obviously. And so He allows us to weather these stressful times in order for us to and help us to develop strength. And so how we deal with the stressful and difficult times in life often speaks volumes about our commitment to God. When we go through those stressful times, do we give up? Do we say, God, this isn't for me. I no longer want to be a part of this anymore. Or do we say, God, I don't get it. I don't always understand it. But I'm going to lead you. I'm going to follow your path. I'm going to trust you, God, that you have my best interest in your mind. And I'm going to go down this direction. And I'll tell you, God, I could sit up here for the next 2 or 3 hours and talk about my personal life experiences that I've gone through where I just haven't gotten it. And I felt like giving up, and I felt like this isn't worth it anymore. But I persevered, I kept going, and it's built nothing but strength within me. So, Daniel chapter 3 is where we're going to pick up our text this morning. Daniel chapter 3, if you are not with Old Testament scriptures or storylines and subjects as you are with New Testament scriptures, you've probably at least heard of these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so we're going to talk this morning for the rest of this first sermon about their stressful need and their stressful situation that they went through. And so Daniel chapter 3, let's look at verse 1. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, and I'm reading from the Old King James for those that are following along with me this morning. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, He set it up on a plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So number one here, what we see is we recognize the stress. Old King Nebuchadnezzar was not the nicest guy in the world. He was very selfish. He wanted things done his way. And so what he decides to do here is build this image made of gold, this gigantic image. This ginormous, I should say, image that's made of gold. So Daniel chapter 3, what we see here, first we see the situation happening. We see off in the distance, this is not turning out to be great. You know, what's this all about? And so one of the biggest problems with a stressful situation in all of our lives is that it catches us off guard. We get the dreaded pink slip at work. Or we have a sick child. My wife just got back late last night from Iowa. She went out to visit our baby niece that was just born about a month or so ago. And wouldn't you know it, that single dad throughout the week with three kids had a sick one in Harper for the first 2 days that Amber was gone. And so dealing with all that stress, you know, that's not something that we saw coming. So Wednesday night, Thursday morning when Amber's out in Iowa, I'm on the phone. Is there any way that we could pay for a plane ticket for you to come home? I just need you home, please, you know. It was one of those kind of stressful situations. I didn't see it coming. And worse yet, sometimes we can sometimes see them coming, and guys, there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing we can do about it. You know, we see the flu epidemic that's going on right now, right? And it's almost a situation of we can take all the vitamin C that we want, but we know firsthand it's probably going to hit us in one way, shape, or form this winter. A nasty cold bug or something along those lines. And so what we see here is this golden statue in Babylon did not create stress to begin with, right? The creation in and of itself didn't begin the stress. But we can see how this situation kind of escalated very, very quickly, beginning in verse 4. It says here, "Then an herald cried aloud, 'To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what times you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth not the same hour, be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace.'" Boy, sign me up for that, right? All of a sudden, everything that I knew to be life, I'm able to worship my God, I'm able to do what I want to do. Now all of a sudden, this decree, this law is passed that if I don't bow down at the sound of all these musical instruments and worship this golden image, I'm dead. It's not I'm punished or I'm cast into prison, it's I'm dead. I'm going to melt. You know, literally, my body will melt. And so we see verses 4 through 6 here, how the stress level escalated very, very quickly. And so what we also see here is this great demand for pagan worship. We see this, putting God aside kind of a situation, an ordeal, and they demanded for pagan worship. And failure, like I've already said, meant ultimate death. This situation called the Israelites to compromise their faith, right? Go away from worshiping the true God with the goal to destroy the faith of Israel. That was the whole purpose behind it. So we can all automatically tap in to see who King Nebuchadnezzar really was as a person, right? At least in this particular sense. Obviously, in today's society, we don't have golden statues that we are commanded to worship. We don't have any musical instruments that go off, and if we don't worship it, we die. But how many times, guys, is our Christian faith is being called to be compromised? The same-sex marriage movement, right, that is rapidly taking over our nation today. You know, and I go along with what the brethren were saying in our Bible study this morning as well. You know, we are to love the sinner, but hate the sin. We are always love every single person. But as soon as you talk negatively about that lifestyle or a lifestyle that's outside of the Christian realm, all of a sudden we're bigots, we're terrible people, we're nasty, we're hateful, we're non-loving, we're judgmental, and the list just goes on and on and on. Society accepts things that are in direct conflict with our faith. And if we don't adhere to that, then we're the outcasts and we're the bad guys, right? Dishonest conduct. We know there's nothing wrong with little white lies. What about greed? What about selfishness? People like Nebuchadnezzar are only in it for themselves. Which is why it's so important for us as Christians to put trust in God. And that's going to be the second segment this morning that we'll talk about in a little bit. So people are sometimes only in it for themselves. And it's just so, so sad and difficult to see that. Number two, from a stressful standpoint that we can look at. Let's read verse 12 through 15 of Daniel chapter 3. It says, "There were certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, I'll say it right in a second, if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and whose God is that that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Boy, you talk about a threat, right? Have you ever been threatened by anything, especially when it comes to your spirituality or your or Christianity in and of itself? And so number two, when we deal with stressful situations, obviously number one, we have to recognize the stress. And number two, we got to remember who's in control. King Nebuchadnezzar here is trying to make himself in control, isn't he? He's trying to say, this is about me, and you're going to do what I have to tell you to do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could be like a majority of us and do what? Well, this is a bad time. This is a stressful situation. What am I going to do? It's about us. We make it about us. That goes back to the selfishness aspect that we just talked about a little bit ago. So our humanistic nature is, I've got the control, or at least I want the control. We want to be in charge of our own lives. So Nebuchadnezzar here was the epitome of selfishness, as we just got done talking about. He was forcing the people to worship this image he created, and he attempted to totally control the world around him, especially from a religious aspect, wanting to destroy Israel and their faith that they had in God, even if that meant killing them, literally murdering them if they would not listen to his command and what he had to say. And so this creates a situation, guys, if you can only take a step back and put yourself in Shadrach, Meshach, and or Abednego's shoes, my goodness, you know, their life is on the line. Their lives are, if they don't listen to what, in our modern day today, what our President of the United States would say, I think sometimes, I don't care Democrat, Republican, Independent, what you are, but I think sometimes we negate just how lucky and fortunate that we are that we live in a free nation. Because there's people on the other side of the world that would give anything to be in our present situation right here and right now. Because these things are still happening. Killings and murderings are still happening today because of one's Christian faith. And so we're looking at verse 16 here. 16 through 18, let's read that. And it says here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer. So now the king has come up and made his decree, made his statement. And now we see the rebuttal here from these guys. Answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I love that statement in and of itself. They didn't have to think. They didn't have to, hey, we got to huddle around first, king. Give us 1 second. We're not careful. We're not questioning. We're not even about to second guess what we're getting ready to tell you. We are not careful to answer you in this matter. Look at the faith and determination that these guys had. 17 says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that you or that thou hast set up. This is a true statement of control, isn't it? These guys are saying, yeah, that's cute that you're wanting us to worship these golden images. However, we're not doing that. And I tell you, there are some days and situations that I'm put in sometimes where I would give anything, almost anything, to have just a fraction of that faith and determination and courage. You know, we get into a religious conversation. Well, I want everybody to like me, so I want to say, I don't want to make anybody mad. I don't want to upset anybody. As opposed to just in a meek and gentle and humble attitude, point to the scriptures and why we believe and practice and do the things that we do. I would love to have some of this courage sometimes. So they didn't attempt to control the moment. It was out of their hands. And they recognized that. And they said, hey, if it's God's will, in a nutshell, if it's God's will that we're going to perish today, well, we're going to perish. Nothing we can do about it. You know, my dad sometimes says, he said, I can't stand when people say, have a safe flight. He said, like I have any control if I'm going to have safe flight or not. I'm not steering the plane. I'm not doing anything. He said, you know, maybe have a good flight, but a safe flight? I have no control of that. These guys had no control of their destiny. But they did say, if it's God's will that we're going to perish, we're going to perish. But if that's the case, King, let it be known, we're not worshiping any false gods of yours. We're not worshiping any false images. It's just not going to happen. So a lot of people will look at these guys and say, a bunch of smart alecks, you know? This is kind of a ridiculous mentality, a ridiculous attitude. But these guys go far away and beyond that. And it's their faith and dedication in God. So again, their choice was to trust their own instincts or place their trust in God. And again, sit tight with me in the next hour. We're going to talk more about that. Far too often, though, guys, we follow our gut instinct, and I'm no different than anyone else. How many times I have fallen flat on my face because I followed Brock. And instead of looking at and praying for what God would have us to do and want us to do. And so sometimes stress leads us to our own road. Right? It leads us to our own direction. It leads us to our own path and what we want to do. And it takes us completely away from the path of God. Number three, maybe you've seen this terminology before, what these guys looked at and recognized. And let's start at verse 19. 19 through 23 here reads, Nebuchadnezzar, he was so mad, so upset, full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one time seven more than it wont to be heated. So now I'm not just going to melt them. I'm going to fry them. I'm going to cook them. I'm going to wish that they had never been born, kind of a situation. And so in verse 20, he commanded that the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them in the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And so sometimes we just need to have the frog method, which is the methodology of fully rely on God. Because that's what these guys were doing. They had no control over anything, and they fully relied on God to take care of them. Whether it was going to be one way or the other, they knew that God was in control. So the three are sentenced to death. I do a terrible job following my slides. So we've already kind of talked a lot about this. He was to destroy the men from their faith, and he wanted to make them pay for their disobedience towards him and what he commanded them to do. And so I look at that from a retrospect of what we go through on a day-to-day basis. Society tries to destroy us. That's why I think somebody commented in our study this morning, you have these mega churches, right? My wife grew up at a Baptist organization in Cedarville, Ohio that had 600-700 people go to it, right? And it was a congregation that, in my personal opinion, has some great people, have some people with great hearts and great mindsets, and I truly think that they want to do what God wants them to do, led astray by the wrong people. And so I've kind of made that my personal mission, especially towards her family, to reach out and to be with them as much as I possibly can and to show them the right way. And you've got to pick and choose your battles and everything else, though. But society may try to hurt us from our faith, and they may reject us for our beliefs. I didn't know, you know, this congregation, I appreciate Roger so much and some of the things that he's talked about. I know this congregation's kind of gone through some difficult circumstances over the past few months, and trust me, Fairborn has too. We got down to about 5 years ago, about 10 people. We decided, we kind of had the brethren that were remaining, we said, hey, are we going to close the doors? Are we going to go other places? Or what are we going to do here? And we had one brother step up, which is my dad, who, if you know my dad at all, is the most quiet, humblest guy that you'll probably meet, one of. And dad said, you know what, if we're going to go down, let's go down swinging. Well, let's see what we can do. Let's give it a whirl. And now, thankfully, when we're all there and we all show up, we have about 25 or 30 on a good Sunday morning. So, you know, it just goes to show, when you put your reliability on God and you fully rely on God, what our mindset might say is, well, this looks like a bleak picture. This looks like a difficult circumstance, or this specific congregation. How are we going to rebound from all of this? How are we going to get out in the community? How are we going to do this and that? We just need to turn it over to God. That's not to say we stay at home and fold our hands and pop up our feet and say we don't do anything about it. But we do fully rely on God, and we get busy, we get active, we work as hard as we possibly can. We focus on our family, we focus on our neighbors, we focus on our coworkers and people that are around us. And I think Kyle mentioned about a neighbor that had cancer. You know, that's a great opportunity for Kyle to say, hey, I'm a minister at our congregation, and we're having a prayer meeting. I would love specifically to pray for you. On Facebook, just a few weeks ago, we had a prayer meeting as well, and I put out on Facebook our congregation's having a prayer meeting for anybody that needs some prayers or anything of that nature. Please let us know. We'd love to pray for you. And we had like 4 or 5 responses from people that were not even members of the Lord's church asking to pray for them. That's how we get out there, guys. That's how we stay busy and active, and we rely on God to give us the increase, as scriptures dictate and scriptures tell us to do. And so just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, guys, no matter what the world does to try, they can never separate us from God. Right? If it's up to us. We have to be the ones to determine that, and obviously no one else. Now lastly, I'll leave you with Daniel chapter 3, looking at verses 24 through 27. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, king, yeah, what's going on here? In verse 25, he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the burning fiery, out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and kings, counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whom bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Crazy storyline, isn't it? I know I'm preaching to the choir, to a majority of you this morning. Have probably heard this story many, many times in your life, but just to understand and know, if you've ever played with fire before, you know, maybe the flame gets a little too big and singes a little bit of hair on your arms or you know, what have you. I'm not going to say I've done that, but yes, I've done that. And just to know that these guys were cast into a fire that is so great and a fire that is so hot, and not one hair was singed on their head. So God delivered them. There's some other stuff I could talk about, but due to time constraints, we're not going to do that here this morning. So God has the ultimate stress relief program, guys. And I'm going to leave you this morning with Psalms chapter 118. Take this with you. Highlight this in your Bibles if you haven't done so already. It's kind of a pretty familiar verse to us all. But Psalms 118, looking at verses 8 and 9, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. The Bible has answers for everything. And no doubt the stress that all of us endure and are going through on a day-to-day basis, no matter what kind of stress it is, God has the answer for those things as well. If you're in the audience and not yet a Christian, and maybe we've said some things that could possibly encourage you to become one, take this time and opportunity right here, right now, to become a Christian. We can assist you and baptism for the remission of your sins. Or if maybe you are a Christian and you've been struggling with stress, hey, join the crowd. You know, you're in good company. We all struggle with stress. We all go through these hardships and difficult circumstances. If we can help you and assist you in any way, please let us know. While together we stand and sing praises to God at this time. Thank you.